Well, hello. Let's come back together. So, this service is brought to you by, oh no, that's wrong. Yeah, the letter P, by Jesus, yes. Sorry. Yikes. We have a few things we would like to take care of. That's not the right way to put it. We have a few things we would like to talk about before I share. And the first thing I want to do is I'm going to ask Viola to come and share. Everybody I know knows about the things going on in Ukraine, right? But what a lot of people aren't talking about is the over 3 million refugees that have gone into Poland, and the churches in Poland are doing all they can to house and feed and maintain life with, you know, this influx of people. And so we want to be able to help however we can, and the easiest way for us to help is financially at this point. Now, there is, sorry, I'm looking around to see if I see, I don't see Drew here today. Oh, he is here. Okay, there you are. I know that Rebecca's father, who's a pastor here in Alaska, took his passport out of his back pocket and said, I'm going to Ukraine. And for real, and he actually ended up, he's in Poland, and he's driving a truck in between Poland and Ukraine full of supplies. And I've seen pictures of what they're doing. They have a couple of orphanages set up in Ukraine. And so he delivers things, makes some food, does what he can in Ukraine, and then goes back to Poland, and whatever finances have come in between that period of time, he buys as much supplies as he possibly can and heads back in. And so that's another opportunity that I want to highlight, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But I asked Viola if she would come and share. She's from Poland, and yeah.
Dzień dobry, dzień dobry wszystkim. Good morning, beloved of Christ. So I just want to say I'm sure that most of you or all of you know about the situation in Ukraine and what is happening there. And it's crazy how over a night things can change, you know. And I think that's what happened. I mean, obviously what's going on in Ukraine is heartbreaking, and we are fervently praying for it. But over the course of the last month, like Zach says, 3.6 million refugees fled Ukraine, and almost 2 million of them actually stayed in Poland. And they are just all over Poland trying to find place and refuge. So churches, but it's not only churches and organizations and government, it's actually civilians that are opening houses for people. Most of the refugees are actually women and children. Most of the men stayed in Ukraine to fight, but majority of the refugees are women and children, and literally hotels, guest houses, resorts all over Poland are staying vacant, so when the new wave of refugee comes, they can accommodate them. And houses are being opened. People are literally, if they have a spare room, they are getting a mother with children, so they don't sleep on bus stations or wherever, you know, they can find places. But I just want you to picture for a second, if like over a period of week, Alaska gained 2 million people. I just want you to think about that. because it actually feels like something. It actually looks like something, you know. Obviously, pandemic is not a problem anymore. We have a different, you know, problems right now. But I just want you to think about that. And there is many organizations. There is the Iris base in Krakow that, just like the gentleman you mentioned, is going literally to Ukraine daily. There is many organizations and churches and people who mobilize and drive to Ukraine border or to Ukraine to deliver food and whatever they can to people there. There is also my church in Poland, and that I'm still, you know, it's still my church, it's family, right? They are very much mobilized, and they are trying to find accommodation for anyone they can. Obviously, food, clothing, everything. People left Ukraine with backpack, and they literally lost everything. And there is no. We're praying they will be able to return, but there is nothing to return to for most of them. So they literally lost all of their belongings, everything they possessed. And so I just want to invite you first and foremost to really pray. If you can pray over the situation, I want you to pray for the believers in Ukraine and Poland. Pray for the kingdom of God to really burst out and really manifest in a way it has never manifested in Eastern Europe, that people, not just the believers, but just unbelievers, everyone will just walk in this anointing and heaviness of the kingdom when people actually care for one another, open houses and clothe one another, and when they see naked, they give them clothes. When they see someone, you know, thirsty, they give them drink. Someone hungry, they give them food. I just pray that that spirit of the Lord and the fear of the Lord will just rest upon people, and they will really respond in the spirit of God and not spirit of this world that cares for self alone. And pray for the situation, for wisdom. Obviously, there is many places all over Europe and states, really all over the world, that are sending aid, which is amazing. But pray for wisdom for those who receive this money to know how to wisely, you know, disperse and really actually help people. And pray for protection, obviously. Poland is right now, so the border with Poland is the biggest kind of stretch that we share with Ukraine. So Poland right now is the only or main corridor for humanitarian and military aid to Ukraine, which obviously has some consequences to it. I don't know if that's just a sign and like threat or not, but just a few miles away from the border, there are regularly bombs being sent from Russia just to, you know, kind of give a heads up, hey. So just please be prayerful about that. It's really, I know we are far away, but I just remember in 2 Corinthians, you know, there was a time in Jerusalem when famine hit, and Paul was going around the Minor Asia, and he was calling people in Corinth and other places, hey, I really want you to collect the gift that we're going to take to the people in Jerusalem, because they are in need, and it's not good that you have abundance and they are lack. Let's have all enough. So I just want to encourage you to really pray about it, ask the Lord, mostly pray about, you know, the believers and safety and however the Spirit of the Lord is leading you in, but also pray into sowing. There is many opportunities. Zach mentioned one. There is this amazing gentleman. I think he's in his 70s. The man you mentioned, he's amazing. You know, there are many people and places that just need resources. I can point you to few. There is a church in Warsaw that is very much involved into helping the refugees. You can sow into them. There is a base, Iris base in Krakow, that is very much involved into going into Ukraine or to the border to welcome and encounter people coming from Ukraine, fleeing from Ukraine to Poland. So pray about that, and if you have it amount on your heart, you can, I believe, sow through. Perfect. Yeah, so thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So listen, this is what I want to do. I want you to, like Viola said, you need to pray and ask the Lord what He's wanting you to do. But if you want to give an offering to Bridge of Hope to go over to Ukraine or to Poland, I invite you to, there's boxes in the back, you can put a check in there, just earmark it, either Poland, Ukraine. I'm not sure exactly how this is going to get divided up. We're not taking anything. I'm definitely going to sow into Poland, but I'd also like to sow into those who are going into Ukraine. And so if you just trust that it's going to go one of those places, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. But also on our webpage, akbridgeofhope.com, there is a PayPal link. And when Ben gets home tonight or tomorrow, I'll have him put a thing in the menu that'll say Poland/Ukraine. But right now, if the Lord puts it on your heart to give, there is, in the PayPal drop-down menu, there is a place where it says special speaker. You can click on that, and since we don't have a special speaker today, I'll know exactly what that is, and we'll make sure that goes. I know in talking with Drew that 100% of the finances that are coming in to his father-in-law's mission, 100% is going to supplies and food, whatever the greatest needs are. So they're not paying for their ministry first and then, you know, whatever's left over. They are giving 100% of what comes in to, he's already paid to be there. He bought a truck there, so he's not even having to pay rent for a truck or something. I mean, he's doing everything he can out of his own pocket to be there. So if you have questions, the couple in the back, if you haven't met Drew and Rebecca back there, you can ask them about that. You can ask them how to give to their father-in-law. I know her mother is running the ministry side of things here. They're in Nome. And so if you want to speak with them, they can give you more info. If you'd like to just give here, we'll make sure those things go where they need to go. So you receive that? Pray and ask the Lord what you're supposed to give and do so. So now, at this time, we just had a team come back from Anituvik Pass, and I asked them impromptu if they would come and just share briefly kind of what happened. And then I have a follow-up thing I want to share about what I saw take place by them being obedient and stepping into this mission. So... yeah, you can come.
There's Sarah. So, yeah.
There she is.
So can we see this beautiful team that went? I want to
come
show
on.
You
know. We're missing Megan, though. Megan is down on a different mission. Yeah, actually, I'm going to have Michael share a piece that she brought, just a small one. But I'm going to start with... I'm going to start with why we went. The Lord gave me a vision, and I'm not going to go into all the details other than it was a vision of gates up there. Anituvik Pass is called the Gates of the Arctic. It's on their buildings, it's on the map, you'll see it, Gates of the Arctic. And so I had a vision of these two gates. They were massive. Like, the mountains there are almost 6,000 feet high, and the gates went over, the top of the gate went above those. And then on the valley that Anituvik is in, there's mountains on both sides, and the, what would you call those? The feet of the gates, I guess, were the posts. The posts were on those two opposite mountains. And so there was a north gate, and then the one behind it, the south gate. And the Lord said, I want you to go there on the equinox. I'm not going to go into the science of that, but it was a pivotal time. It was very important that we went at this time. And the purpose was to restore possession of those gates, literally. So it was a covert mission. We didn't go to do ministry. We went to do an assignment. And can you put that picture up of those, of the gates, the first picture? Maybe. Hold on. So then the Lord put a team together. Although that was one of our signs and wonders, those were all over the place. And some have three stacked high. So they were amazing. When he gets that up, that'll be good. Okay. So I'm going to have each of these guys share a piece of what is on their heart, what the Lord's telling them to share.
So when I said yes, I would go, I had no idea what I was saying yes to, but that's probably a good thing. So I went, and what I found was that everybody had a piece that the Lord had laid on their heart. And you know, if you try to reason it out and think about it, it makes absolutely no sense. It was a prophetic prayer assignment, and you know, like Ezekiel, when he had to lay on his side, you know, for 390, how much sense did that make? Or when Moses was standing on the cliff and had to lift his hands to win the battle, lose, win. I mean, it makes no sense. But what I found was everything that we did, whether I understood it or not, or it made sense, the Lord proved what he was doing in his word. And let me just give you an example. Psalms 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. And one of the things that was close to my heart is, you know, watchman, because nothing happens. The Lord needs us to declare what he is doing, what he wants to do, his will. And so the condition of the church, there, it's just a representation of everywhere. And we are all gates. And it's like, don't think that, oh, this is nice up there or this was great there. Guess what? It is for our walk, your walk, here and now, and to declare the word of the God, word of God, and whether it makes sense, whether you see it or not, pull it into fruition. And so I just want to say it was great to get to know other people in light of, you know, outside these walls. I heard there's stories that are supposed to stay there, but I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, what happens on mission trips stays. Not the mission trip. I just have to say the condition of the church is everywhere, like she was saying. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, we walked in and there was, there were some things that had to be taken care of, and thankful for Michael. So that was, you can ask Michael what how he served us, had to do with the dung gate. So it was fun. And it was at the lowest point, I think we were at about 50 below, so our missions outside we were quite bundled and quick, yes, because at those temperatures, I think it takes 10 minutes to get frostbite. It's intense. So the Lord sent us, and the cool thing about the equinox that Kim didn't go into the science just briefly, it is the time of the year that the light starts to overtake the darkness, and it was so profound and so prophetic to walk in and see all of that. But I'm going to pass this along. So the one thing that I wanted, actually two things I wanted to share, was on our way up there, the Lord told us that we were going to experience
the village, the assignment, I should call it an assignment, with all of our senses. And what really, really impacted me was seeing things in the spirit and having them manifest in the physical. We literally, like, I made some prophetic art before we left. I had a sun dog, a circle, and I actually saw a lion running across the top of the mountains, and he was jumping through them. And when the plane landed, we had this incredible sun dog right over the mountain, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, I just want to get off the plane in the freezing 40 below and just stand there and cry and let it freeze to my face, because I was like, this is crazy. And so it just kept happening like that. One night I saw the sound of the northern lights breaking things open, and I started to create a picture with a lion. And the Lord said, no, it's supposed to be at night, and it's supposed to be with the northern lights. Rachel gets outside, and the northern lights were absolutely, and they don't come into the village like that. So the signs and wonders were amazing. The other thing that I wanted to share is that one thing that was really big on this trip and this assignment was stopping, resting, and listening. And so really listening for what the Lord wanted us to do next was really key, and we found out that really resting and listening to his presence was really key.
Yeah, all the things that were just said, magnified by 100. this was my first time to AKP, and I've heard tell since we arrived here over a year ago. And for me personally, it was transformational on a multitude of levels. The place, the signs and wonders, getting to do our assignment, put that back into the land and what we were there to do. I think most of all, the biggest thing that had an impact on me was the people. We didn't get to meet very many, but the ones that we did will always be in my heart. And just all those things that came together and are here. And I just hope that my presence with you all and what we did had as much impact with what we wanted to do as it did in my heart. So thank you for sending us. And Megan's not here. What was the piece you were talking about? Oh, yeah. Megan was told to bring a tuning fork. And so she got this tuning fork that's tuned to 444, which is in Hebrew is the frequency of healing. And as one of our prophetic acts, anyway, we had the tuning fork and we put it on the ground. We put it on the land as we were declaring. That was the first night, right, Kim? So, and then after that as well. So,
there it was. Now it's gone. There it was again. So I lived in Onaktuvuk Pass for 3 years, and I've been going there since 1998. I have never seen lights like that. And if you look at it, it looks like a portal. It was open. This was a sign that followed. That night, after we put the tuning fork to the ground and declared the alignment with heaven, and the Lord being Lord of this place and the United States and Alaska and the world, these appeared. We went back in the church and I said, hey, did anybody see any northern lights? No. They all trekked out there, and there they were. So signs and wonders did follow. We did not set out to see people, but when they found out we were there, we were blessed to have people come and see us. And it was, I've been on some missions before, But this one is so, they used God's secret weapon, bunch of nobodies, right? But somebody to him to go and do his work. And it is so far reaching, we're going to be seeing the effects of it for a very long time. Thank you for supporting us. This church gets first fruits because you have supported. And so I bless you. I bless you with the first fruits of what God was doing.
Oh, one of the miracles I want to share. So we were, we had a young man at a church, and we were talking about the food Kim was going to cook that day, and he's like, man, I haven't had Eskimo donuts since my mom died. And I'm like, oh, I got to make bread. Like, really, God? But, you know, your heart is like, oh, you know, you want to, anyway, love these people with food. So I'm like, okay, well, we get to the house. I'm like, well, we definitely don't have yeast and we don't have oil, Crisco. And I'm like, well, you got to have that for making Eskimo donuts. It's like a fried bread, you know. So Kim sends me out with my two peeps, Megan and Sarah, to go to the store. Well, I totally forgot it was Sunday, and the store is not open on a Sunday. So I get down there, and I pull on the door, and it's, like, locked. And I'm like, no, we can't make donuts, darn, you know. But I hear somebody yelling to me, and they're like, the store is closed. And I look over, and there's this little Eskimo lady smoking on her porch, and she's a little ways away. I couldn't even see who it was. I'm like, we need yeast. We need yeast. And she's like, I'll get you some. So she goes in her house, and I drag these girls with me over there. And we're standing outside, and she comes out with her packets of yeast. And she starts wailing as soon as she sees me. Just the Spirit of God hits her. And it was just held her for a little while. When the Holy Spirit walks in and you carry that, these people react like that, like it's like the longing. It's like a deep crying. I don't know how to explain it. But when she lets go of me and I see who it is, and she tells me her story and what's been happening, and then I look at her and I'm like, so would you happen to know anybody who has any Crisco? She's like, I do. So here we walk out, two brand new things of the stuff we needed. God provided the oil for making these. And this, I don't remember that. You want to tell them?
Oh, my word. So we had no heat.
Oh.
So Sid comes up there with his little heaters because he works for the city. And Michael goes out. He checks the tanks looking for, you know, the oil. And he said there wasn't any oil. And I believe there wasn't any oil. Because you remember the miracle of the oil with the anointing oil. So Sid comes up and he goes out there, sticks a stick down there, and he goes, oh, there's oil in here. I'm like, you know, I know what, yeah. So anyways, Sid works for hours, gets that heater running. It was so toasty we had to turn the heat down. There's fire in the house, right? There was things like that. I want to encourage you, if you have time, talk to these guys about this trip. It will encourage you beyond belief. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. I want to share something about that people, the oil. We know the story of the 10 virgins, right? Five ready, five not. So there comes a point where five go to the other five and say, hey, we've run out of oil. Give us some of your oil. And so the word is tzedak, which is actually generosity, which also translates into righteousness. But what they ultimately were, it would be like asking, we've run out of our own generosity. Would you give us some of yours? you cannot give away your own generosity. Do you understand? Like you can't get generosity from someone else. Your generosity is your generosity. But as we give of the oil of our generosity, it never runs dry. Yeah. Wasn't going to preach anything like that. But I want to share this, though. I know leading up to this particular trip to Anisuvik, there was a lot of, warfare, but also when, God, what's the timing? And the timing came quick. Which is fine, but sometimes we hear things from God and we're like, Lord, that's quick. And I know, what Sarah didn't share was she made a decision. She heard about the trip Sunday, made a decision, right? That night, I think. And she just gave her yes to the Lord. Yeah, I'll go. And the Lord opened the door. But here's what I want to share about this. Because I knew kind of what this trip was about and what the Lord had put on their hearts of what they were going in there for and the fruit of what they were going in there for. Last week, if you weren't here, Bill Pagran had shared about Carry the Cure and going into villages, and he said they had a lot of trouble lining things up, and even the ones they had lined up canceled, and they weren't even sure what they were going to do. And the same week that this team made the decision to go, things opened up for Carry the Cure in five different villages that they had not, they were not on the radar. They didn't know it was going to happen the way it happened, and it just unfolded. Well, Bill gave often an update a couple of days ago, and this is what he said as of a couple of days ago. Over 600 people have made decisions for Christ, over 40 baptisms, tons of deep ministry and joy, purpose and freedom rising up. And then he talked about what they were doing that day. He said it's changed many times. We're going to Kalskag now. They had a teen suicide last week. We'll be praying for some miracles. And anyway, just letting you know, I think it's important that, you know, we sow into things like this and don't always get to hear the reports coming back of what we're sowing into and what people are seeing. And so, but I do believe that these things are tied together, because as we give our yes to the Lord and we step out, we don't necessarily, again, always hear or see the effects or the ripple effects of our yes. So it's really cool for me to see this and tie them together and go, you know, we don't know what the Lord is doing on a bigger scale than, what we see right in front of us or what we hear people doing that we know or whatever. And so Alaska is opening itself up. I don't know where Michael went, but here, oh, there you are. Hearing the story of putting the tuning fork in the ground, I was like, or on the ground or whatever, that struck something in me that just went, yes, the land of Alaska needs healing, and not in some weird way. I'm just saying that, God has given us the earth as an inheritance, and therefore where we step, there should be healing that flows in every step that we take. And so I think that's a beautiful thing. So we have a sign-up sheet for the next build. No, I'm just kidding. you You guys all doing good? Ready to hear a little bit of the word? All right, me too. So who's next? Sage? You want to? Okay, I'm afraid. I'm just trying to find something here. Actually, this, I wrote down about three scriptures, and this was one of them. Numbers chapter 27. Verse 15. I want to pray, Lord, thank you for your word. So thankful for what you're doing. All the things that we can see and the things that we cannot see. The things we know and the things we don't know. The things we hear and the things we have not heard, we thank you, Lord, that you're on the move. Thank you, Lord, that healing is coming to not just the land of Alaska, but the people. Lord, healing is coming to the hearts. I just can't get away from this. John 7:37 says, "Let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink, and I will give them living waters." So, Lord, we receive the living waters of your word. Lord, forgive us, like Jeremiah 2:13. We've created our own cisterns and tried to drink of ourselves, but we're unable to hold the water. And so we call forth the water, the living water, the rivers of living water to burst forth out of us today. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We give you our yes in a whole new way today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I know I told you to just turn to this, and you can put your finger there. But I need you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. And verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. The idea of a living water is, it's more than a stream. It is a river. It is something that continually flows. Like, listen, living water is something that breaks down obstructions. It takes care of fear. It breaks down walls, whether we put them up or someone else put them up. Water is this water that God desires to flow in us as we allow Him to sit on the seat of our lives is something that pushes out of the way everything that gets in the way of us receiving the love that He wants to put in us. And listen, the love that He puts in us becomes a river that flows out and overtakes other things and other people and other communities and other, you know, people groups and nations. And yeah, and so, but it says this, that we've forsaken Him, the fountain of living water, and we have made ourselves cisterns. Does it not? We have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn. Hewn is to carve out, to cut out, to dig out. They have hewn themselves cisterns. Not for themselves, but themselves. You hear the difference? I made myself into a holding tank for the water that I'm trying to provide for myself. But it goes on to say it cannot hold water. You're a leaky vessel, y'all. Do you hear me? Call it self-preservation. Call it fight or flight. Call it whatever you want. We consistently try to hold our water when it's meant to flow. You know what creates the holes in the container of something that tries to hold water? It's the water itself. When it's continually flowing into it, something's got to give. And we're constantly trying to scoop it back in and hold it and scoop it back in and hold it because we're worried that we're going to run out of our own water. Okay, now you can turn back over where we were, wherever that was. I don't even remember now. Deuteronomy or something. Numbers 27. That's where it was. Numbers 27, verse 15. This will all tie together in a minute when the Lord tells me how. This is Joshua and Moses. Moses is passing his leadership and his mantle, if you will, on to Joshua. And the verse 15, Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the Spirit of all flesh, set a man over the congregation." In other words, he's like, "Lord, I know that I can't go into the promised land, and so there's got to be somebody set over this group who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd." And the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit," listen to this, "and lay your hand on him." When you think of laying your hands on somebody, we were taught that it is literally like this. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that's completely out of line or wrong, but it is a misconception of what to lay your hands on somebody actually meant. I'll teach you a little bit more about that in one second. I want to turn to another place. Actually, I want to go to verse 23, but go ahead to 19. I want to finish reading this. "Set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and inaugurate him in their sight," verse 20, "and you shall give some of your authority to him." You shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. Verse 21, "He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation." Verse 22, "So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses." Okay, keep that in mind. Numbers chapter or that was Numbers 27. Let's go to Deuteronomy 34. Same couple of people here. We're talking Moses and Joshua. It's only one verse I want to read out of here. I don't typically do this where I pick one and two verses. I just want to read this one so that you can hear this part. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. He was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses laid his hands on him. What in the world is laying your hands on somebody? If any of you is sick, right, let him call for the elders of the church that they may lay their hands on you so that you might recover. Again, do not disagree with people putting their hands on people physically, but we have turned something that God meant for impartation into a simple act of let me lay my hands on you, abracadabra, in Jesus' name. No disrespect, but it is a wrong way to see it. So let me teach you really quickly what it looked like to lay your hands on somebody. So, first of all, the idea of laying your hands on somebody who was sick, nobody like that would have been a priest or anything would have ever put their hands on somebody that was diseased or sick, because they would then become unclean themselves. So when I'll just take one quick example. For all the sins of all the people of Israel, every year there was a sacrificial lamb. There was actually a scapegoat first, and then there was a lamb. But the scapegoat was there for the priest to lay his hands on and impart to this goat all the sins of all the people of Israel. And this is how it looked. Meh. Oh, no. There's so much imagery in this, I really have a hard time not telling the whole story. There were two goats brought forward. And one goat was chosen to become the scapegoat. Hello, Jesus and Barabbas. Anyway, when the scapegoat was chosen, the priest, who had already cleansed himself for his own sin and his family's sin, would be waiting on the Lord until he felt this thing that the Lord quickened to his heart, that all the sin of Israel had been imparted to him. It would be like if you could think about a moment in time where you have an aha moment, where something suddenly clicks, like, Or something just shifted. You know? Do you know? I don't know how else to describe it than that. Like, you know, like, whoa, something just happened. It's kind of like when you first get saved, and it's more than a prayer, but suddenly you go, whoa. Like, I think I just heard my name written in the book a lot. You know? It's more than just like, that's it, I'm saved. Okay, cool. Not saying if that happened to you, you're not saved. I'm just saying, like, most of the time there is something, there's a fear of the Lord and an awe that comes over you that you're like, I'm clean and cleansed and whole and I feel like I can do anything. Like I feel humble and I feel like crying. I feel like laughing. I mean something just, as Josh Wilson said this morning, boom. That was a good, great, great definition. I was like, I can't come up with a word. He goes, boom. I'm like, that's the word. But this priest is waiting on the Lord. Now, I don't know what he was doing. I don't know if he was praying, whatever. I don't know. I'm not that smart. I do know that a point in time came where he felt that he had the impartation of the sins of the world, or to Israel. And he would go to the scapegoat, and he would imagine all of the sin that had been imparted to him being imparted to this goat. And it said that it was so weighty that he literally would have to turn his head away from the scapegoat because it was that kind of, I don't know how else to describe. I mean, I can feel it in me as I describe this. I can literally feel a heavy weight that just goes, I don't know. Do you remember when the sin of the world is imparted to Jesus and it says that the Father turned himself from Jesus? It was the impartation. It wasn't that God was like, ew, I can't look at Jesus. It was the weight of what was taking place caused him to turn away, which made Jesus feel for the first time the separation and the distance. Right? I know I've talked this before to you that our sin does not make God turn his back on us. It isn't. If you were taught that, I'm sorry, that is not true. Otherwise, we are performing our way back into some kind of good grace. It's not true. When we find ourselves in a place of sin, God is longing for us to run into his arms, not work our way back into his good graces. And listen, otherwise, Jesus, when he walked the earth in his own earthly ministry, would have displayed that very characteristic of God. Instead of saying, woman, where are your accusers? He would have said, you're darn right you're a sinner. It's a good thing I'm here. Right? Are you done yet, woman? What's wrong with you? Not what he did. Instead, he looked around and said, where are your accusers? Nowhere. I certainly don't accuse you. Stand up. Go and leave this life of sin. Do you hear what I'm getting at? So what we have done is we have taken a drink, opened ourselves to the fountain of living water, and then somewhere along the line tried to create our own cistern that we can lay hands on people and pray for them to be healed out of our own water, which lacks authority, which lacks ability, which lacks the grace to impart to people the supernatural ability for them to overcome the things that have overcome them. Do you see? What we need to be doing is yielding ourselves in such a way that the impartation of the Lord is what is flowing through us. And when the Lord tells us that it is time to now impart to others what I've imparted to you, I promise you, you're going to see things shift and change. Do you know your Bible says, do not lay your hands on anyone too quickly. Do you know I was taught, and I know that there is truth in this, but I was taught that that was more about like their immaturity, and which again, I recognize that is true, and I know what the word says. But I wonder also if it's don't do it before your time that you've been imparted to and do it out of yourself. Because the reader, the one who's reading the word has to be able to find themselves in there as well. It's not just about the person being prayed for, but the person who is laying their hands on people needs to have the impartation. Otherwise, you're doing nothing but giving people water out of your own cistern. That's not holding water anyway. When we're supposed to be opening up the floodgates and letting loose the rivers of living water so it actually pushes obstacles out of the way, breaks through fear, breaks through sickness, breaks through disease, breaks through whatever's happening in a person's life and begins to flood them with that same living water. Do you know that the place of your heart, the reason the Bible talks consistently about your heart is because it is, I hate using terms like this, but it is the sentient seat of all authority in your life. In other words, your heart directs your life. Your heart is where you make your greatest decisions from. Your heart is the place that you give over to other people, or you give over to God, or you give over to yourself, or you give over to things. And that place, that seat of authority in your life, it is whatever you've given place to that seat is the direction your life will go. And so what God is saying is, let me sit, right? That's Holy Spirit desires to be in the sentient seat of your life, directing the flow of all things you, to include every penny that we sow or we keep or we whatever. That's why your Bible says, where a man's treasure is, so is his heart. Because the Lord knows we're kind of attached to that a little bit. I didn't come here to talk about money. I do want to tell you, though, that I'm feeling a shift taking place in me personally, and I'm feeling a shift getting ready to take place in this body. I believe that the Lord is creating an appetite for all things Him, for His Word, for His Spirit, for understanding, and for true impartation that flows out of us so that we can impart the kingdom of God to people, not the kingdom of Zach or the kingdom of Bridge of Hope or the kingdom of whatever you put in, fill in the blank. We have constantly, I'm guilty as all get out of imparting the kingdom of Zach to people over and over and over and over and over. And I feel no condemnation. I just realize, like, wow, you have not understood this fully. I still don't fully understand it, but I feel this grace coming upon us to understand impartation in a whole new way. And I think out of it, we are going to begin to see a radical shift in what we're praying for, what we're seeking Him for, and, you know, the outcome of all of that. And so, lovely. I'm just going to be obedient to what I'm feeling like. And if I put you on the spot at all, please just have some grace for me. Jeff, you, sir, yes, I love you. I have been thinking about you a lot and really feel like the impartation that you're carrying is, I'm not saying the time is now, as in right now, today, maybe, I don't know, but you're carrying something that you need to impart to the body. And I recognize you're not sitting and going, I'm going to hold on to my cards, you know. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm trying to be encouraging that I recognize that we have, and this isn't just about you, this is about all of us, we have created this system of trying to be protective of everything so that it doesn't empower or enable people to operate within where they're supposed to be operating, because we were taught you've got to reach this certain level or do these certain things or become this certain thing or get rid of these certain things or whatever before you can be used in an impartation of what God is. But it's not right. And so I don't know what this is going to look like. I don't know why exactly I'm picking on you right now, but I do know that I guess I'm confessing before you all that you've really been heavy on my heart, that you know the evangelist that is Jeff is needed desperately in the body of Christ. And I want to tell you this, when you are released, when God says now, it is not going to look like Billy Graham or, you know, and I know that's not what's in your heart. I'm just, I guess, again, I'm letting you all know this as well, that it's going to look exactly like God put in you. Not, you know, whether that's knocking on doors or going out in the streets or what, who cares? It's you. And I want the impartation. And I want it to be imparted to the body. And it doesn't need to look like anything but what God tells you to impart. So, there are those of you in here that are, I believe that God is getting ready to release and impart the fivefold ministry into this house. And it's not going to be a race to see who can get to the right level so that they can be released. Or it's not going to be like, you know, where do I fit or who am I? Or it's really what God is trying to do is I see Him like unbinding and setting free the gifts and the calls and the like who we are. And I'm kind of frankly, you teenagers, I am like, I am so ready for you guys to be free to be who you are. I feel like you're still sitting in this place of going like, we don't see how we fit in this service other than just sitting and waiting or listening or whatever. And I'm telling you that there's something about to shift, that the Bible says that your gift will make room for you. And I'm telling you that I'm willing to push things away and make some room for what God is doing. But you've got to be faithful to step into what God is calling you to. It's not just about, well, when the church asks me to do something, I'll do something. I'm telling you now, He's wanting to empower, to impart. I'm waiting for you. No pressure. You know, there are prophetic voices in this room that you have, first of all, either never been used or you've been like stirring inside going, I know the Lord is showing me things. I just don't know who to talk to or what to do with this. I don't know how to be trained in this. I don't know how to. I'm telling you, we're getting ready to see the equipping of the saints by the fivefold ministry in a way that we have not yet seen. But we cannot sit aside and wait for somebody to impart all these things to us. Our job is to yield the seat here to the one who wants to sit here and let the flow of all things coming out of us be from that thing and not from like, ooh, I got something from somebody who dug out of their own cistern and poured into me. We've all had that. Right? You receive that? I'm really not trying to be, you're awful. I feel like I could sit here and do this all day, so I've got to stop. But I last thing I'm going to say about this. When you put the picture up there of the sun dog, I don't know if anybody else saw the shape of the sun, but it was a diamond or a jewel or however you want to see it. And I literally saw that, truthfully, first person I saw, Austin, was you. I saw this, like, treasure. And I am so longing to see the treasure that's in you burst forth in such, like I feel in a lot of ways you've just been waiting to be unleashed yourself. Like, you know, somebody just, not in an arrogant way or anything, but just, I'm submitted, I'm ready, I'll do whatever you want, but just unhook and I'll run into whatever you want. And so I see that and I come into agreement with that. And Julia, you're like, I don't even want to talk about you. I do. I what I mean by that is I am seeing like leaps and bounds different in you. Something is really shifting in you. I'm so excited about what God's about to do. Loving it. Loving it. Loving it. Today is the day of freedom. Today is the day of freedom for you. Today is the day of freedom for me. Today is the day that God is going to unhook the binds that hold us down. The river's going to push away the things that God did not put there. Some of us, we put them there. Some of us, the enemy put there. But I just see this river, because we're yielded to him. I see this river pushing sleepless nights away, pushing difficulties. But yeah, I'm serious. For some reason, Sage has really been struggling with this. And I'm just believing today. In fact, I'm going to pray over you here in just a minute. Today is the day of impartation.
I just want to kind of encourage you guys in this. Sometimes we hear words like this and we get discouraged. Like, I know I have that going on, but I'm not walking in it. When's my time? So 2010, we're at a conference in Anchorage. Zach's walking across the room. Mary Glacier's up speaking, and she calls him out in the middle of the room. You're an apostle. And then she keeps going on. And we're like, what? We don't. 2010, 2015, we get invited to Cheyenne's for School of the Apostle. Still, we're like, okay. And we're just putting one foot in front of each other. Like, we're not sitting waiting, going, I'm not going to step into this until I have the recognition or the different things we're looking for. So, as some of you know, which I've heard maybe not everybody knows, but we are being ordained apostles in 3 weeks at Chase. So I just say all that. Don't get caught up in, like, I want to be recognized or somebody has to ordain me to be this. But step into what God's calling you to be. Like, for us with Che, David was here, like, 3 years ago. He's like, I'm going to talk to Che about this. And we're like, no, don't talk to Che. Because we trust Che, and when the timing's right, God's going to tell Che. And then we're going to step into where we need to be. So I just feel like that's really important, because you can get really caught up in, well, nobody recognizes me as this. I'm frustrated. I can't do this till I'm this, this, this. There is a process, and there is a surrender, and there is a journey. And it's important that we just continue to give our lives to the Lord every day. And when the timing is right, He's the one that goes, you're ready for this moment.
Gary, it's coming. The dreams, the things that God has put in your heart, they're not for nothing. They're not for you to just go, well, I guess, you know, whatever, or they'll happen when they happen. But I'm sensing the timing of God. It's this morning, the clock's been off for a long time, by 2 minutes, for, I don't know, months. And this morning, Wes shifted the clock to on time. And I actually looked at my watch, and I looked up, and I went, time just shifted. I'm like, something's taking place. I'm seeing an acceleration of time. It's like the chronos, the chronological time, has finally caught up with the kairos, God's timing. And so we pushed into something different today, that the timing of God has caught up to the timing, or the timing of man has caught up to the timing of God. And so, yeah, if you'll receive that. Were you going to share something, Susie?
So when we switched the decorations over to spring, I had somebody walk in and say, looks like a wedding in here.
Oh,
and I thought, that kind of took me back. And I was like, okay, it's not what the intent was. It
right.
was more spring, you know. And then I was rewatching a service of Zach preaching a couple weeks back, and I also know that Zach, I'm going to take notice over
yeah.
here,
mm-hmm.
to this, what kind of seems a little odd, okay? And it's a vessel, and Zach goes, oh, I think it got knocked over, and he's trying to pick it back up. He's like, oh, but it's weighted. It's filled with things. Oh, maybe it's meant to be poured out. And I thought that kind of funny. And when I was listening to one of his services, the Lord started talking to me about this little thing. He said, you know, we're vessels. And I've been filling you, and I've been filling you. We need to get tipped out. We need to get tipped over to flow out. Because what is all of this that's flowing out is the fruit of what has been planted in there. And people need that fruit. So we need to get tipped out.
So good. That is so good. Yeah. What's that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So good. Yeah. Right? Did you hear? She said, sometimes it feels like you're being knocked over, but God is tipping you. It's funny because Jay and I were talking about this morning, and both of us are like, I just want to pick it up and stand it up. That OCD little bit of stuff there, you know. But, yeah. Did you? Yeah. Well, because, yeah, yeah. One of my kids knocked it over. Oh, but it's funny because that's the season we're moving into. Is it supposed to look like that? Did they mean to do that? You know? And so it's going to be a little messy. It's going to be a little like, but the growth and the free of the sign that makes you wonder, yeah. Were you going to say something? Here, I'll come to you.
You were talking about the river flowing. Onaktuvik Pass sits on the Continental Divide, which is the watershed. For those of you who don't know what a watershed is, the watershed is the water melts, it goes and waters both sides. But the Continental Divide is the watershed for the entire United States and all the way down to Chile. Think about that. Onaktuvik Pass sits on the watershed. The portal, the water, coming down through the gate. Everybody getting the picture? And the water runs north and south and east and west from Onaktuvik Pass. Every direction.
That's really good. I'm not going to apologize. I'm going to say that I am trying to be honoring and respectful of everyone in our time and our kids downstairs as well. But I feel like I could literally prophesy over every one of you. I know I just am not feeling like it's what I'm supposed to do right now. I'm just full of this thing. And so, yeah. So I want to impart, though. That's what I'm really getting at. So if you guys would stand, I think the easiest way to do this is for me to just literally release over all of you corporately right now. Because I know inevitably some may not respond, but I'm telling you, you need this. And so I'm just going to give it to all of you. And then you have no choice. I'm playing. But I do want, if you would, would you just put your hands out like you're going to receive an impartation? So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I release the impartation of every need represented in this place, every desire represented in this place, the yielding of our hearts, the yielding of the seat of government in our lives. We yield to you now in Jesus' name. We ask for the heavy, weighty presence of God, the kabod glory of God to fall in this room. Pray, Lord, that people would begin to feel the weighty presence of God in such a way, Lord, that begins to flow, that river, that water, that fountain would boil over in us. And everything, every distraction, every fear, every bit of brokenness would be pushed, would be washed away in that river. I pray for refreshing to come to those who are sitting and going, I feel thirsty, but I also feel tired. So I pray refreshing to come upon you in Jesus' name. I know that there are several of you struggling with sleep, struggling with some of you maybe even depression, and I'm not sure what to do today. I don't know if I can make it through today. And I declare over you today a strengthening. I pray that from the inner being of who they are, there would be a rejuvenation and a strengthening. We break the stronghold of depression. We break the stronghold of feeling tired, feeling worthless, feeling like I just can't do it anymore. I break that off of you in Jesus' name. And I release hope into you. I pray that your bodies, your minds, your spirit would be infused with hope today. That, Lord, like a supernatural burst of energy into us, Lord, that we would be energized into a place of feeling refreshed, ready for the day, getting up and accomplishing what you call us to do. That we're not trying to
to do things just to do them, but because you said so. I pray that today the impartation of the Lord would be so drastic that today would mark a new beginning in our lives, that we would begin to see things shift and change today. And so I call you in to shift. I call you in to a place of refreshing in Jesus' name. I call for renewed dreams and visions. If you've let go of things that the Lord put in your heart, I call you back into remembrance. And I say, remember the things that God put in your heart. Remember the dreams and the visions that God put in you. And I call them forth in Jesus' name. They are not dead. They're just been laying a little dormant. And I say, come to life in Jesus' name. Today is the day of impartation. And so we receive impartation. We receive the refreshing of your Spirit. We receive renewed dreams, renewed vision. We receive today the call of God that's been on our life since the beginning of time. We step into it and we say yes, even if it's a little bit hard, even if it's a little bit different. We say yes. We yield ourselves and we yield our hearts and we yield our spirits to you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Weighty, blessed presence of God upon you. Thank you, Father. Equip us. Send us. Just like Isaiah 6, here we are, Lord. Send us. Who will go for me? I say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Here we are, Lord. Thank you. How far we've run from you, how close we feel to you.
wake us up and bring us in. Restore and reinstate. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. You're worthy. You're worthy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I just feel like we need to clap. I don't know why, but
yeah. Thank you, Lord. So good. Yeah. So take what you got. We'll let the river flow out of you today. Yes, tip over. Let yourself be tipped over. Pour out. So I just bless you in the name of Jesus. Be blessed and filled in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, guys. Bless you.